All right, it's great to be here with you on a Wednesday. In America, we call it a hump day, like a camel hump. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, some of you, but for me, Wednesday night services are always special because for me, often, as I go through my week, I feel on a Sunday, I'm good to go. By Wednesday, I'm already being attacked. My flesh is always screaming at me, and Wednesday helps me get back and centered and back where I need to be in the Word. And I love Wednesday night services. And everywhere I've ever been, they're always a little bit smaller, a little more intimate, a little more relaxed. And it's a good time of fellowship. Everyone got your Bibles? Everyone got a Bible. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 19. Anyone need a Bible? Exodus chapter 19. Steve did a great job last week. So we're going to cover the whole chapter. We're going to start with the first 8 verses. All right, let's go. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nations. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together. You ready? Come on. We? Good job. So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. All right. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today and start with these first 8 verses. And as we read this now, they had been traveling, we know, right? They've been traveling. And this place now they've arrived, we know, interesting, this is where they will reside for quite some time. In fact, all the way in our Bibles to chapter 10 in Numbers, 57 chapters, they're going to reside in this area. And we also know this is the same and believe the same place where Moses saw the burning bush. It's very interesting. And as we begin, as God and Moses have this conversation, I think what we see to start is, as they've arrived to this place, is God reminds them, and I think all of us, the readers, right, of this passage, what he has already done. And I think that's so often how we come before him, a reminder of who he is and what he's done. The promises that he had already fulfilled and accomplished. He had freed them. How he had delivered them from enslavement. Then he uses this example, a beautiful example that we see of carrying them on eagle's wings to bring them to himself. Have you ever heard that before or what that looks like? How an eagle carries its young? Interesting, you know, most animals, like I talked about cats on Sunday, how they're not mentioned, and dogs, they grab the animals by the neck, right? They carry them around. Now, an eagle is interesting, and I got an example here. I'll read it, but then I'll maybe explain a little more. As it says, "I bore you on eagle's wings." Now, we know an eagle's wings are strong, and they're large, and they're sure. But what this really speaks of is the care and protection. It's said that an eagle does not carry her young with her claws like other birds, like all the other birds. The young eagles attach themselves to the back of the mother eagle and right on her wings, the back of her wings, as she flies with them in safety, which is very unique. And here, this is what this is speaking of as God has carried his people. In protection, he didn't just pick them up, he carried us. And I think that's what we see here, and it's a beautiful picture. Also, when I read these first eight verses, I saw how all of us, just as the Israelites had been delivered, all of us have been delivered also. We know this. Each and every one of us has been delivered from our sin. We also, just like the Israelites, we've been freed from death. We each, as the Israelites, have been given now a new life, right? They were given a new life. And then I thought about it, each of us, especially those that maybe got saved later in life, as you then have placed your faith in Jesus and you have begun a new life, often when you begin this new life, it's interesting, just as it was for these people. They wondered, I'm sure, as they looked at this now, as they've been delivered and they're in the desert, how do we settle into this new life that Christ has given us? How did they settle into this new life that God had given them? It was a life full of uncertainty, for sure. This wasn't what they expected, probably. I know for me, I often wonder when I look out, and I wonder what the future would hold. What's next? Wondering what this new life or this next season in my life would look like. And when we become born again, we are given a new life. We are a new creation. And often we look and we wonder, like, I don't know how to live this new life. What does this look like? That's why we go to church and we read our Bibles. But what will this next season in life be? I think everyone here can look at that. If you're, maybe if you have young children, you wonder what the next year is for teenagers going to be like. Or if you're like us and our kids are moving out, we wonder what it's going to be like to be empty nesters. We call it empty nesters. I can use that term here because the eagle, right? The empty nesters, when all your children leave home. Don't make Vicky get upset with that. We're going to keep these two as long as possible. But we wonder what the next season will be. Maybe it's a new season in a job. Maybe it's a new season in relationships. When I went into ministry, it started a whole new season in relationship with my wife. I was always gone working. And then all of a sudden, I'm home. New seasons. So we always have new seasons. The Israelites were facing a new season. Many of us will go through different seasons, right? Whatever it is. I mean, it's different. We always do it. It's the only guaranteed we got is change. We're going to have different seasons. And maybe it's how we're serving in the church even. You know, some of you guys, I'm like, it's kind of exciting. We're working with a lot of you that even today, you're starting new seasons in different ministry. It's pretty fun to see. It's exciting. So often when I look at this, and I'm sure as they were looking at this, you ask questions and you pray to God and you seek God and you ask God, Lord, what does this look like? Please provide and guide me in this new season in life and reveal your will in whatever season you'd have me. Right? Because we want to be walking according to His will. We want to know that as we're walking in this different season that we're living for Christ, that we're being a light for Christ, wherever that season would be, in whatever job, relationship, wherever. So what we see here as we start here in Exodus 19 is God revealing or instructing His people how to live in this new season and this new place that He has brought them to. As these instructions are good for every one of us today, no matter what season or where we're at. And that's pretty amazing how God could do that, isn't it? So He's going to instruct. First instruction He sees, right? This is for every one of us. I don't care where you're at. Remember who God is. That's where it starts. Always, no matter what, remember who He is and what He has done. That's where He starts. Give these instructions. Announce, right? You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I carried you on eagle's wings. We always start with reflecting on who God is and what He's done for us. His love for us. He starts with love, with that analogy of the eagle's wings, how He cares for you as a father. Then we know that as He's carried us and He's placed us, that He's going to give us instructions, He says, to obey, to give us commandments. And then He says, if this is done, if you will follow after me, seek after me, obey my commandments, He says, you will be my own special treasure. Pretty amazing. What this is saying, too, is each of us, God wants us to be His ambassadors, is one word you could use, or those who would represent Christ in this world. When he said, you will be that treasure, that's what he's asking. You will be his treasure, those who are representing him in this world. His holy people, everyone here today, to be his holy people, obey his commands. Now we know that God here in this, especially in this, he's going to make a covenant, a promise to his people. But before we see that, he starts with asking, remember me, and asking for obedience before defining the covenant and what it is. That's often the way God works, right? He asks us to walk in faith and obedience before revealing more often. And he's doing this. So we know, and we just read in the text, that Moses, we know, is the high priest, right? Everyone know Moses is the high priest. And it's through him that God had spoke to the people, and it was through Moses that the people could speak to God to make their petitions known. But today, I'm just going to start with this. Today, you're going to answer this really loud. Today, who is our high priest?
Jesus.
Thank you. This is important. Yes, Jesus. And it's him that represents us to the Father and represents the Father to us. But we're going to see a picture and a model of this that we can take and apply to our lives today and to Jesus. If you got your notes, this is a great note to write in these verses. You can look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. It says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, that man, Jesus Christ. Amen? We all, so though, when we talk about relationships and knowing God, we have this today, don't we? We have our Bibles. We have the Word. We have God revealed to each one of us who He is through the Word of God. So we have that today. The Word is God, right? Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. We know that. We just looked at it on Sunday. So let's continue. Let's look at the next verses, 9 all the way through 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. Then they will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Then the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be ready. Write this. You ready for this? Be ready on the third day. For on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai for all the people. Watch. Mark off a boundary with all the mountain. Warn the people. Be careful. Do not go up on the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. No hand may touch the person or animal that crosses the boundary. Instead, stone them or shoot them with arrows. They must be put to death. However, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, if I had a shofar, I'd do it right now. Then the people may go up on the mountain. So I found this very interesting. Preparation was needed. The people were called to sanctify themselves. Or you could say to cleanse themselves. Or to set themselves apart. The washing of their hearts, their minds, their lives. To be purified. Now, I've shared with you guys, and I share it often, when I pray, and especially before I'm teaching on a Sunday, I pray before the message for all of us, including me, and that I often say it that whenever we walk through these doors of the church, that we, whatever we would walk in with, if we were, whatever it would be, anything of the world, whatever it is, whatever dirt we may have, whatever hard feelings we might have, maybe even sin, frustrations, impatience, fears, whatever it would, that you would lay that down when you come in this door, you would lay that down at the cross at the feet of Jesus, and that you would surrender that before God. You would, in a sense, kind of sanctify yourself, prepare yourself to be bathed in the Word of God. Prepare yourself to sit at the feet of Jesus. When we come into church, that's something we should do. We should prepare our hearts and our minds to sit at the teaching of God's Word. And I have to do it often when I walk in. I got a million things in my... I just said it all. I am here to worship Jesus. That stuff will be back right when we leave. It's out there. Don't worry. It's probably not going nowhere. But we want to be washed, and we want to be cleansed by the Word, and we want to do this often. And that's why I like Wednesday night services, because I need a little midweek washing for me. It helps me a lot. Also, you hear me often, I say this before we take communion or the Lord's Supper. I ask something similar. I ask that each one of us would examine our lives. Each one of us would repent of any sinful things in our life between God and others. You see the cross there? We would take that time and prepare to take communion. Now here in the text, God has asked the people to prepare for His coming, to meet with Him, like we can do at church. We meet with Him. We study the Word. To wash themselves, to cleanse themselves. Here it even says their clothing, to wash even their clothing, to purify themselves, because God is coming on the third day. Amen? Now I thought about this. I was like, is that like saying we should dress nice for church? Actually, I think yes. Believe it or not. I mean, I don't think we need to wear a suit and ties or anything like that. But I do think when we come into the house of God to sit at His feet and study His Word, that we should at least come decent. I find it interesting, especially like someone just shows up from the gym all sweaty and this and that. Besides, they stink, but that's not what I'm really talking about. But we're coming to worship the Holy God. Now, I don't know how you define that, what's nice dress. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. It could be your best t-shirt you got. That's okay. The point to me is that you come prepared to worship God. Right? We don't just show up like, it's a privilege that we have. It's an honor that we can come into this church and sit freely and worship Jesus. And we should show up ready to worship Jesus. Right? In our minds, in our hearts. But here, physically, show up ready to worship Jesus. Whatever that looks like. I don't put definitions on that. I got a t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops on. That's not my point. My point is your heart behind it. Right? I mean, if you're just like I've seen it. People are just very nonchalant. And I think we could have a little more reverence in that in some ways. Now, let's see here. So here they're preparing. They're preparing to meet God, that Jesus, and we know that Jesus is coming back, right? We know Jesus is coming back any time. That's the question we got to ask here, right? Here they knew, right? They knew when He was coming. They're coming. He told them, right? We don't know when Jesus is coming right now, do we? Any time. No man knows the date and the time. But Jesus is coming. So here we see God preparing His people. So if we don't know when Jesus is coming, that means we should be prepared all times for Jesus to come, right? And I wonder, like I ask myself, am I ready if Jesus came tonight? Am I ready? Now, of course, I'm saved. I've placed my faith in Jesus, and I know most all of you, and I know you've placed your faith in Jesus. But if He came back at 10 o'clock tonight, what would you be doing? What would you be watching? What would you be looking at? What would Jesus see if He came? I think we need to live our lives in a way, knowing that Jesus can come at any time to be ready. And know when He came, no matter what we're doing, we wouldn't be ashamed. Let me put it this way. We would not be ashamed of what we were doing if Jesus came. That's up to each. I can't define that. But you would not be like, oh, I better close that. I don't know. Whatever it is, that we would never be ashamed if Jesus Christ came in the clouds and drew us up of what we were doing. I'm not saying you wouldn't be saved. But we should be doing things He said, prepare yourselves, wash yourself, cleanse yourself, be ready for my coming. We need to be ready. You never know. Are you ready? So look again here, these verses here, as we look at these, I think they're really, really amazing. And we see a definition of when God came here, written for us, what it looked like. It says there was smoke, lots of smoke. There was trumpets. There was fire. There's fire in the sky. There was lightning. There was thunder. This was a big event, right? There's no doubt, and we know it through Scripture, when Jesus comes for his church, there will be no mistake. They will deny it, but there will be no mistake. When it happens, the same is true. It will be amazing, and none of us will be able to miss it when our King comes to draw his church up with him. Amen? I know a lot of people, I say that because there's a lot of false teachers out there. I was looking at a friend of mine, he posted on Facebook, this guy's truck, he said, Jesus Christ written, like spray painted across the side of it. And he went to talk to the guy. He's like, wow, that's interesting. And he said, he went to talk to the guy, and the guy says, oh, hi. And he says, what's your name? He says, my name's Jesus Christ. And this is my wife, Mary Christ. This true story just happened yesterday. Let me tell you something. That guy wasn't Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hasn't came yet. There's a lot of false pagan cult religions out there that say Jesus has came. He hasn't came. When he comes, we will know it. And we see an example of this. It will be very, very obvious. And none of us will be sitting here today. So, actually, I want to look at a few verses that talk of that, that speak of this. So I think they're worth turning to. Matthew 26:64. Matthew 26:64. Says, Jesus replied, you have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming in the clouds of heaven. Again, we see this picture of these clouds and Jesus coming. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, you can write this down. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Another one, Revelation 1:7. Very popular verse. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven and everyone will see him. Even those who pierced him and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. So I believe in today's passages we see a picture of Jesus in his coming. And let's continue and look at 14 through 20. So Moses went down to the people. He consecrated them for worship, and they washed their clothes. He told them, get ready for the third day, and until then abstain from having sexual intercourse. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed. A dense cloud came down from the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from the ram's horn. And all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln. And the whole mountain shook violently. And the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. What a picture this shows us, huh? What an amazing picture. They were prepared. Moses had given them the instructions they needed. He had helped them. They were prepared. They were ready to meet God, to hear him speak. Again, are we prepared? Are you ready? We read this passage and we know it's speaking of God as he revealed himself on the third day. The people were preparing, and again, I see this picture of Jesus being resurrected on the third day. Are you prepared? But the difference here is a big difference in the text here and today, isn't there? A beautiful, beautiful picture, though. Now, I just said it. Who prepared the people to come before God? Moses, right? He purified him. They washed. They cleansed themselves. But today, who has prepared us to spend eternity with God? Jesus. Jesus is the one. He prepared us. Who is our high priest? We just said it. It's Jesus. He has already prepared the way. He already did the work. He did the work on the cross. And through the Holy Spirit, we're given the message of what Christ has done. And then through that message, we then accept what Christ has done as he has prepared the way so we can spend eternity in heaven with God. And we place our faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that we were sinners, that we needed a Savior. And Jesus has filled that. And he's paid the price for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. Yes, future even for lots of us. Jesus is the one who has done that through his righteousness. Through us then being resurrected with him through faith, we are seen holy and righteous in God's eyes. And now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be in the presence of God the Father. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Let's finish up and look at the last few verses, 21 through 25. Then the Lord told Moses, "Go back and warn the people not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord, or they will die. Even the priests who regularly come to the Lord must purify themselves so the Lord does not break out and destroy them." "But Lord," Moses protested, "the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. You already warned us. You told me, mark off a boundary all around the mountain to set it apart as holy." But the Lord said, "Go down and bring Aaron back up with you. In the meantime, do not let the priest or the people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them." So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said. This passage and God is very, very clear. There is no misinterpretation whatsoever. There is no confusion whatsoever. He warns everyone. He warns them. He tells them that everyone must be purified or they will die and they cannot be within God's presence. Same is true today. The warning is there. I see a picture here in the Old Testament of Jesus again. We see these people, even the priests, had to be purified, cleansed beforehand, before they could be with God. Or, he says very simply and forthrightly, they will be destroyed. I want to take a minute, I want to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews talks about this very passage, and it's really amazing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 24. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. And what this is in my heading in my Bible, it says it's a contrast between the two different covenants, right? This covenant and the new covenant we have through Jesus Christ. But this is a contrast between the two, which is pretty amazing. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, it begins, "You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight, he said, 'I am terrified and trembling.' No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to the God himself, who is the judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect." You've come to Jesus. You've come to Jesus. the one who meditates the new covenant between God and his people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. So we see a contrast now between the old and the new written in Hebrews. Because today we have a new covenant. We have the new covenant through faith, placing our faith in Jesus Christ. But we see a picture of this before. Even then, the people had to be cleansed. They had to be seen as righteous. But now, we do this through Jesus Christ. To me, it was an amazing chapter as I studied it. As we see the Lord reveal himself to his people, as he called his people, as he was preparing his people, as he was calling them and giving them a new covenant. It was amazing. Amazing picture. A picture that we can all learn from today. I was reading on David Guzik, and I stole his main points, and I just want to share them with you. He said as we read this, chapter 19, we can pick out 7 points. 7 points that we can all apply to our lives each and every day. First one, he says, and we've seen it, you must receive God's word. That's how it begins. He spoke. Second thing we see, you must be set apart. Everyone here, you are set apart. You must be set apart. You must be living a life knowing that you are set apart for a very special purpose, to be God's ambassadors, God's messengers. You must be cleansed. We're cleansed through the faith in Jesus Christ. We can only come after the third day. This was only done through Christ's resurrection. We must always remember that. It is never of our own works. It is only through what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. Interesting, number 5, he says we must respect God's boundary. He sets boundaries here, do's and don'ts. I think we have that in our own Christian walk. God says, this is how I want you to be. As we read through our Bibles in the entire, we learn this is who we are to be. He sets boundaries in our lives that we don't go outside of. We shouldn't. And in that number 6, we must restrain the flesh. Often, the flesh is there. Number 7, we must know that we come to a holy God. It's kind of what I talked about when we walk in. When we come in to sit under his word, when we come to church to pray, when we're worshiping, remember, we're becoming before a holy God. And we see pictures of this, and it shows us that. We have been given Jesus now, but it's a great reminder. Because I think we forget so often, because we have grace, we have mercy, right? We have it. Praise the Lord. We have grace, we have mercy. But in grace and mercy, that doesn't give us a license to sin. We know that. It doesn't give us a license to just be. God wants that reverence. He wants to hear from us. But he's a holy God. Pray with me. Shears is going to teach next week on the Ten Commandments. I'm pretty excited. So he gets to get into the next part, which is, he may not know it, but he got the best chapter. I mean, that's the funnest chapter to teach. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, as you've continually given us these instructions. We're always beginning, Lord, as we come before you to remember who you are. And knowing, Lord, what you've done for each and every one of us here today, Lord, given your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, knowing that, Lord, once we have placed our faith in you, Lord, we are a new creation, Lord. We are set apart for a specific work. That we are cleansed and we are holy before you, Lord. That, Lord, this is the gift that you've given us. And Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would know and understand that gift, Lord, and walk in that gift, Lord, and be walking in a manner, Lord, that is glorifying to you in everything that we do. Living our lives daily, that knowing that you can come anytime. You may come in the clouds even tonight, Lord, and call your church up, calling your saints up. And Lord, we'd live our lives knowing that at any moment, Lord, you may be there calling us. So Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would live a life, Lord, that no matter what season or where we're at or who's around, Lord, we'd never do anything or be doing anything that we'd be ashamed of for you seeing down upon us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to be here tonight, Lord. I ask for a blessing on the food. And Lord, the children, as they're finishing up their Awanas and studying your word. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not understand what it is to be a follower of you, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just call them to you, even tonight. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.